their nomination. I'm not going to do it if I can help it, and I don't think there's much the press secretary can do except consider it theirs. He's a good one and looking after my interest. Now, I may have pitched it that way. I don't remember what I said, except I do feel very strongly sometimes. They're attempting to move on me, and I resist it from everybody. And that's my viewpoint. Now, it's 2:15 in the morning. You come to the office, you're going to leave from home.
Oh, I was going to come to the office.
All right. You call me and you get here, and let's straighten out what we're going to do while you're gone. And I see nothing that's going to come up that's any problem. I think we've got a problem with this story.
Well, yes, and I think, Mr. President, that story is a part of the turn in my relations with the press. I have not talked to anybody that would indicate anything like that. But I think that they are trying to create some problems.
I think they all have the impression you don't like your job and you'd like to get out of it, and you're just doing it to take care of the poor man who can't get anybody else to work for him. I don't want to leave that impression, but I think that's the impression they have. I had the feeling after we had our last little understanding, I thought we agreed that for this term, you would be the press secretary come hell or high water. When we talked about whether you'd stay or whether you'd leave, didn't we, or did we?
Yes, sir. I think your impression was an accurate one.
All right. Now, anytime you want to change it, I won't know it before they do. I don't want to hold anybody in bondage or slavery. If you're not happy working for me, and if you're not happy in your job, and if it's not to your interest, and it's costing you and your family, and I know it does cost you health. I don't see how you survive staying up all night. I just think I don't know how much we do at night. But I know I can't stand it. I've been up since about 6 this morning, and I've been under the thing, and I know how other people must feel too, and I don't try to drive them. I don't ask any of them to stay at night. And I saw the speech last night, and it's pretty well satisfactory to me. I think Clark Abe and I could have cleaned it up some this afternoon, but I don't see that any great development took place. But anyway, I know how you feel about it, and I'm crushed that you have to spend these nights. But if you feel like that it's a burden and it's your sacrificing and you're in trouble, if you'll tell me quietly and tell me, I'll work it out where you can do whatever you want to do. Of course, needless to say, I want you. I depend on you, and I think you realize that the problems I have, I think you can see them probably better than anybody else in Vietnam and with the Congress and with the country and with all of them. And you're about as key to me as Lady Bird is. But I got pride, I got self-respect. I sure want to recognize yours. If you're happier some other place and you want to go some other place, I'll work it out. I don't think we ought to work it out through the Washington Post. And I think somebody in our vicinity is A, implying that you're not happy in the job, B, that you didn't want to take it, and C, that the credibility thing is being forced upon you and by evil men. And actually, I got daughters too, and I don't really think that's true. And I don't want that to happen, but I can't help it, and I don't give a damn a whole lot about the Washington Post, just as long as I understand where I am with you. And I wouldn't have called you except I was afraid I'd miss you until next Sunday, and after I saw your memorandum. And I was afraid that this thing would be coming up in the morning, and we need to evolve a reply and a standard position for your future and for my future. I didn't know anything about the statements you made about the Washington Post. press. I don't object to them. I rather think they're accurate. I don't fuss at them. But they
base their story on the fact that it's an indication that
you have a very unflattering opinion of the Washington Press Corps.
Well, it's that old business of the press, which has a right to criticize, doesn't want to be criticized.
I think that's right, and I would glory normally in it, except I don't want it to divide us, and I think that's its objective. What I would suggest now is that both of us go to sleep over it. You come down, if you're going to leave, you take off at 11?
11:35 is one plane. I may not make it.
I'd suggest you come down, say, at 10. Come by the bedroom. I'm not going to get up. And let's look at the story. Let's suggest what our course of action is, and what are we going to do, how are we going to handle it. If anything, I think your absence will be noted.
Yes, I think I should be there to bring.
Because they're going to say that this happens. It sounds, I don't know who it is. I would gather it's Kilpatrick.
I don't know. There's not a single member of the White House press corps to whom I would have said anything like that. Quite the contrary, the only person I have even talked to about the job in recent days was Mary McGroy, who went away satisfied that I was happy doing what I was doing and said so in a story. That was the most recent. I would not say anything to the White House, to the press that would be anywhere like what was reflected in that story.
Well, are you happy or are you unhappy at a job? Do you want to change jobs? Would you prefer to? Or you, did you make a bad deal and you agreed to stay? Would you rather do something else?
Well, I want to be perfectly frank with you without in any way substantiating any concern that you have that I might have said something to somebody in the press. I didn't. I find it an exciting job. I find it an unsatisfying job for the way I am built. By that I don't mean in terms of any honesty or anything like that, because I'm no more honest or less honest than the next guy, but in terms of the kind of things that I enjoy dealing with, the White House press job is a different kind of job. A man like you or a man like me is never going to be satisfied by a press secretary's job. That is not to say, however, that it is an exciting job, it is an important job, it is one.
Is there any job you'd rather have that you want to go to? Do you want to go back to the Peace Corps?
No, sir. There's not another job that I believe I should do right now.
That's okay, and let's proceed on that basis, and let's check it in the morning. You figure out how we handle this. From your standpoint, I'll give any thought I can. I'm not very helpful because I'm not much of a press man, but I don't understand them. I don't understand their reaction. You think about it, and we'll work it out, and I think that our basic weakness, Bill, is that we need about two or three men in there to take these things. I think it's rather criminal that you had to brief twice today when you had the important thing in the State of the Union, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And you know that's not my fault.
No.
You know, I really want you to have competent help. But I don't want to force you to live with a woman you don't like, or that you don't approve. And I've had this for 24 months now. And I never could get George to hire anybody but Joe Layton. I never have been able to get you to hire Mike Joe Layton. I've told you several times to get Donnelly over, haven't I?
Yes, and I was prepared to do so, and the men who've interviewed him raised doubts about him that I haven't had time to resolve in my own mind yet. And I said, I don't want to make a mistake because it affects you.
That's right. Well, I think we ought to get some people to relieve us, because when Bundy steps out, and very frankly, I think Bundy is a source of problems for us. I think he's a man of great talents and great ability. And I recognize him more than anybody. I think he also causes a good many problems. And I told you that before he quit, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
And I was ready to accept his resignation. I've never changed. And I think the Evans thing is a good demonstration. And the Alsop thing is a good demonstration. Because he told me tonight, riding up there, that he had had these talks with Alsop. And he considers him his very dear friend. And now Alsop's writing letters attacking the Secretary of State. And if you're going to have friends attacking the Secretary of State, you got no place in this business. Don't you think that's right? It's kind of like working in a plane. I believe in it. If he thinks that much of Alsop, Alsop thinks that little of the Secretary of State, I don't think that he's got really any play. So, I think that we've got to get ourselves organized and be aware and bring some people in where when he's gone and you're doing some of the things that you were trying to do last night and today, that you don't have to do the other things. I don't believe you're constitutionally and physically and temperamentally and emotionally fitted. I know I'm not, and I doubt that you are, to carry the variety of assignments that you have. And I think you're going to have to, as long as you keep your agreement, just live up to your word, you're going to have to carry the big assignment here of responsibility for it. And I think you're going to have competent people that you don't have to do their thinking for them like you do with Joe or Hal's on. The other one is competent to brief. So I think you better get a briefer. I listened to McCloskey a couple of times over the radio the last two or three days. He sounds exceptionally good to me. I never met him. I don't know anything about him. I wouldn't object a bit to your drafting Donnelly over and drafting McCloskey over and putting them both down in MacGeorge Bundy's shop and say they assigned to Bundy. And then just let them sit in on a hearing in 2 years. And ultimately, when you have to go to Minneapolis, say, I've got to get one of these guys to do it. Bob, would you do it tomorrow? Would you do it the next day, Dixon? And then go on. I think you got to pull them in kind of that way, not dealing with the press first. And then as you assume other duties, you can shift some of these depending on what change of pace they have and how well they do. But my suggestion would be, if we're able to do it, if these press stories don't destroy us, like the Evans story and like this front page story, and it's coming from within. There's not anybody from outside. Republicans not hurting us. It's the Bundy stuff and this stuff that's hurting us. If we can still get those, I would suggest that we just say to McCloskey to come over tomorrow and talk to him. Say, I want you to come over here and help the president. I will do it if you check him out enough. I'll do it with Donnelly. I'm not above asking. And if they'll do it, then we'll just sign them down to Bundy's shop, let them do general work there, and one or two of them come up to some of the briefings as they go along. In a week or so, I think you can start shoving it off to them. Will you give some thought about that and let us talk about it tomorrow?
All right, sir.
Okay.
Operator? Operator?
Operator?
Yeah, I'll finish right.